Blog Talk Radio.
Watching you as you're dreaming, the dreams I thought I knew. Your smile shows the reason I watched it all come true. Your touch is cold and distant,
Radio. We are a radio group that hangs out at allpoetry.com, giant poetry site where you can join for free. And if you join or are already a member, you can find us under the group tab, Team of Voices. I'll meet you at the door. You can hang out with us and share your poetry if you are interested in doing so. To call in and participate, you dial 1-646-668-2837. Again, 1-646-668-2837. And we share the links to the poems that are shared on the shows on the chat wall in that group so that you can read along and comment and enjoy the brilliance with the rest of us. And on that note, I'm just going to jump right in with both feet because I got some people in the studio, starting with my co-host, Mr. Jay Hatter. My big brother. Hey, Hatter.
Thought you forgot about me.
Never. And right behind him, from the land of Oz and still on that continent at the moment, Mr. A.P. Taylor. Welcome to the show, AP. Glad you're here.
Man from Snowy River.
And we either have a bad connection or he's muted. Okay.
I'm
well,
here, Deb. I'm
there
muted.
He is.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry, I was muted.
No problem. Glad
I was
you're
just
here.
Yes, well, I was going to say, well, I didn't say, I was muted. I'm in Oz, but only briefly, because I'm in Singapore. So I'll join you next week from the land of Singapore for the show.
Awesome. Awesome.
Who are you going to bring us?
And right behind A.P. Taylor is our dynamic duo from A Poetic Slice of Life, the owner Kay and her husband Stephen. Hey, guys, welcome to the show. Glad you're here.
Hello.
Feels like we just hung up.
No.
We get the double hitter together every Monday, your place and then mine. And just as we're about to get started, I just want to shout out to Liquid Damage, who is normally here hanging out with us for the entire show. And hopefully she's taking a nap right about now because she's got COVID, and we wish her a speedy recovery. And in the meantime, I'm going to run to the board, and I'm going to grab Kay's poem because, as I just mentioned, she has been on the show running things at her place, and I bet she's tired of being on air. So, Kay, when you see your poem, will you take us away?
Mm-hmm. Am I unmuted?
No. Can't hear you.
No.
Okay. Well, I only ask because we're in a parking lot. I needed chocolate, so you would rectify that for me. Okay. I call this Land Pink Walk Splashes Singing Serenity. Calm but countryside, window the willows of nature's song. Peonies of red, a stable for ornamental gardeners. Buckeye bell for blush night, fields and sensory of thrills. Mary Mayshine garnets ivy's trellises of quaint streets. Old-fashioned shutters, cascading washings, the sunset of watercolors, futility, and time.
Wow. Awesome brevity, a staple for ornamental gardeners. Buckeye bell to blush night's fields. I like the thought of the to blush night's fields. It's a really, really pretty image. But from the, and I don't want to steal all the lines, but the coloring book, countryside's windows, I think that is gorgeous. And it, you know, coloring book, countryside's, the metaphor there is really cool. And I love the title, Land Paints, Walk Splashes, Singing Serenity. There's optimism and beauty in just the title itself before we even get to the brevity. And then again, I know I've said this on many of your pieces, but it's a lot harder to get a 10 on so few words, and I see that this is in your folder for that. So, like, that is really, really awesome. And before I let anyone else comment, I can't stop stealing the metaphors. Watercolor rejuvenates. I love the way that sounds. There's things that we can do or say that rejuvenate us, and I get that kind of feel there where the watercolor rejuvenates. Like you could almost look at the beauty in the painting by the artist and imagine the joy they got out of making it and the beauty they found in it that inspired them to pick up the brush to begin with. So I think that this is a really, really awesome brevity. And then there's a tender feeling in there as well. So I like the emotions that are threaded in. A really, really cool piece, Kay. And Hatter.
Yeah, you're right. It starts out That first line is great. Coloring book, countryside's window, the willows of nature's song. Great first line. And then you hit a staple for ornamental gardeners, and that brings it to a some sort of storyline to give it a little solidity, something to hang on to as a reader, so we know where you're going. Then you get back into the metaphors again, which is great, but you don't really come back to the storyline. I mean, well, there is no storyline. I hope you get what I mean. I'm just positive. This is very good. Old-fashioned shutters, cascading washings. As I think the small words can create that also. You know, the sunflowers, watercolors. Very good. How do you like writing the brevity? Is it tougher?
No, lately, for some reason, all I can do is write brevity. So that's why all my writes have been short lately. I'm thinking small.
Yeah, but you're getting pretty good at saying a lot with those few words. So why add more if you don't need to? Awesome comment, Heather. AP?
I've got the same issue, okay, except I keep on writing villanelles. In this particular poem, I actually like some of the word use. I really like Cytherea in place of Aphrodite, the sort of Greek goddess. I loved the use of rejuvenates as well to finish. Just really interesting placement of words and use of words just to give colour.
Thank you.
Awesome comment. And before I get a comment from Stephen, I just want to note, for some reason I'm extra excited to be the 50th person to like this poem. But think about that. The poem's 20 days old. It's already got 50 likes. So I think your brevities are doing just fine, my dear. Stephen, you want to comment from your wife?
Yeah, I like this too. Where is it at here? I thought I'm going to read what I wrote to you first. And I felt it was a beautiful piece that not only describes the painting, but also does a wonderful job connecting emotion with nature, which I know is something that you really strive to do. So it's perfectly written. Yep.
Awesome comment. And Stephen, I am putting yours on the board. But how about if you give us the rundown of what's happening at A Poetic Slice of Life before you read for us, please?
It's happening at A Poetic Slice of Life. All right. Our next show is The Poetic Inklings of Tomorrow, Wednesday at 7:30 p.m. Eastern. It is our new Painter of the Year that we're doing, Lisa, what's her name, Asado. She does a... wonderful paintings, very, I don't know what I would call them, like comforting or cozy paintings, I think. Very cool, almost like a Norman Rockwell type thing. Okay, found some more paintings from her to check out. That's the prompt, 7:30 p.m. Wednesday. Something different with a request this Friday, also at 7:30?
Yeah.
Yes, all right. And that is just about autumn. Bring a poem about autumn. That's pretty much an open autumn poetry.
I think I have one.
All right.
Those are called warm fuzzies. Those are warm fuzzies, man.
And that's all we got for the rest of this week, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Okie dokie. And wait a minute. I'm a little confused. Where did the warm fuzzies come from?
Well, he was trying to describe the we'd be looking for the word, that comfort word.
Oh, yeah.
Have you seen the art?
Warm fuzzy.
Hatter?
Yes.
Have you seen the art he was referring to?
No. Did he put it up on the wall?
No. It's on the topic board at A Poetic Slice. But I was just wondering if you saw it, that's all. Because there's a couple of them that could go with warm fuzzy. I just thought you were ahead of the game and actually saw a topic ahead of time, and I was going to, but anyway.
I took some medication, so I'm not responsible for what I do or say.
Yeah, okay. Watch out, Stephen. You want to read a poem for us?
Sure. I had to choose the painting that I chose. And I don't know where my inspiration would take me with a dragonfly, but anyway, I call this Dragonfly Wings Make Fur Baby Sing. To feel the tickle of cellophane wings, prismatic in the full moon's light, brushing ribs and shoulders sing, bringing venerator lips to light, dipping below in deepest frigid depth, where dark nymphs do their deeds, asbestos pulmonary synapses crept, dibbling cancerous blackened seeds. 60,000 droplets squeezed from eyes that gaze to forward and to back. Rapine jibes cleave thorax sides from masquerade's wanton attack. Airfoils did oscillate to station keep, but now push gales and forthwith leap, nestling under festive flannel sheets and cuddle with quick purring beats. End poem.
Wow.
Queen Victoria.
For starters, I wasn't surprised at all when you took the dragonfly. And the title is so cute, Dragonfly Wings Make Fur Babies Sing. I guess they like the dragonflies as much as their mama. To feel the tickle of cellophane wings, prismatic in the full moon's light. Just those first two lines there with the cellophane wings and the prismatic moon is really vivid visuals. Dripping below the deepest frigid depths where dark nymphs do their deeds. I love the image throughout that. 60,000 droplets squeezed from eyes that gazed forward and back. That one, it was like, whoa, 60,000 droplets squeezed from eyes. It sort of feels like it's, I can't think of the word I'm trying to come up with. I don't know, squeezed puts a totally different vision in my eyes than I had a moment ago when we were reading. And then you wonder about the use of the asbestos back in the last stanza. So it makes you think as you're reading there. And then that one line, from masquerade's wanton attack, fabulous line. And I see that this one's another 10 too, Stephen. Racking them in. I have charted a course to try and hit 1,000 before the year ends. Let's see how that goes. But I know, right? But no, this is fabulous. The images are incredible. The sentiment behind it is as well. Fabulous. Appreciate it. And let me get you some. Oh, and I have 30 more to go, so it's October. I should be okay. We'll see. Hatter, what you think?
Where's that? Dripping cancerous blackened seeds. That's an odd word to use, cancerous, but it fits. I like it. You tend to not have a problem with tense. When I write metaphorically, my tense is off all the time. I have this one lady poet, she reads my stuff and she's brutally honest with me. She'll tell me exactly what I did wrong. And but you don't seem to have that problem, you know, keeping your adverbs and your verbs and nouns separate in a context. When I do it, they're all spread out. I think it's that I look for the rhyming, the Elizabethan, how Shakespeare talks, and I think that screws me up. But you don't seem to have that problem, so I'm a little envious here. You're very good.
Thanks, Hatter.
Great comment, Hatter. And AP, what did you think?
I actually really liked it. The particularly the third stanza, the 60,000 droplets squeezed from eyes, was really neat. It's a really interesting image because it's sort of so clear in the foreground and sort of blurry in the background, and so it's really interesting to try and make sense of what the image is doing, and I think you do a really great job with it, Slim.
Thanks, AP.
awesome comment. And Carrie, just your hope and peace.
Well, yeah, I like what you brought in here because actually earlier this summer I thought I knew about dragonflies, but we watched this documentary and I was enlightened as to a whole other life to them. So I like what you bring here about the dragonflies, but also the metaphors too, because I love dragonflies and cardinals. There's a lot to them. They're my spiritual messengers, but I like what you bring with the creature to life, to poem. Yeah, as I said, through this, we have learned that we don't need much, and in years that have passed, through the tears, there has been great love and happiness despite it all, and there's no other place I would rather be.
Thanks. You know, fun fact about dragonflies? Their percentage of when they go hunting is 100%. Like a lion maybe gets 10%, or, you know, somebody misses. A dragonfly never misses.
Because
wings. It's a set of wings that they can rotate around.
That's where I got 60,000 from. They actually have 60,000 compound lenses on those eyes. So that's where that
came from. Funky.
Yeah, back in the dinosaurs, they were like six foot dragonflies. Imagine that.
Wow.
No, they're growing up like they are now.
Right. AP, I don't see your link. Do you want to put it on the board?
Oh, sure. Yeah, I only sort of just finished it an hour ago or so, Deb, so I'm going to put it up now for you. And as I said before, I seem to be, everything I write turns into a villanelle. If it didn't start a villanelle, it becomes a villanelle. So anyway, here's another villanelle. And this is The Gift of Fight. Goes a little bit like this. Provider said to the satin green fly, come within, I will grant you extra wings. Silver sail pearled with a rattle on by. Purple and blue reflecting azure sky, streams and trees from here to all corners spring. Provider said to the satin green fly, come right close, towards, not nearly so high. The fly with a drizzle left inward swing, silver sail pearled with a rattle on by. I bestow my ring to your body nigh, this wash of silk in delicate fine strings, Provider said to the satin green fly. With a clap and a click he went to try, but lost control, bumped as scraped into things. The silver sail pearled with a rattle on by. With wishes once a given, all left high, you are in a pickle, cannot deny, Provider said to the satin green fly. The silver sail pearled with a rattle on by.
Awesome. I do like the conversation. I love the visuals in this. I also really, really, I'm liking that whimsy sound in your voice and the way you've been playing with the villanelles. Each one is just a little bit different as far as the story or the sentiment or the feeling that went with it. And like this one with the little tail that goes back and forth, I bestow by ring of to your body nigh this swash of silk, delicate, fine strings, Provider said to the satin green fly. I mentioned that it in pieces gave me the said the spider to the fly kind of feel, but with gorgeous images in it, and I still feel that, especially in the one I did with the wash of silk and delicate fine strings. It sounds awful pretty, but maybe a little extra proof that something beautiful can be a big problem, deadly maybe. But lost control, bumped, scraped into things. It's just the contrast of the maybe danger is the word I'm looking for versus the gorgeousness of the images is really, really cool. And then the repeat gives it for lack of a better way to put it, a beautiful hauntingness. So another great Villanelle.
Thanks, Tim.
Again, showing off. Hatter, what you think?
Yeah, you know, this type of poetry, I never notice that there's a dominant repeating line until you're at the end. Now, the question would be, can it be longer, or is it always always just because of the math in it, in the structure?
Hey, no, it always it can only get the 9-8-9 set up, yeah, so 5x3 and 1x4,
okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. And the way I see the quotes, the one, is it just, do you have to use the first word of that line in the second, or is that not, I just...
It's actually, yeah, the first and the third line of the first stanza repeat in order in the final line, and then they're both used at the end. So first and the third lines of that first stanza create the sort of meter and the rhyme for the rest of the poem, where it starts and where it finishes, which I kind of like.
Yeah, the second line just happened to start with that same word that you use.
Yes.
That's what I saw.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And it was
yes.
quoted. Okay.
Yes.
Cool.
Yes.
Yeah, it blows me away.
Thanks, Hatter.
Great comment, Hatter. And is Kay still here?
Yep.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I will give an olive pie. You are in a pickle, cannot deny, provider said to the satin green fly. For some reason, it really stands out by saying that you're in a pickle, cannot deny. So, yeah, that's what really catches my eye. The way this reads, it does breathe through and give it a gentleness, but it also takes nature with a heightened metaphor as well as I see it. It's a great take to the right and form to create its artistry of thought.
Thank you, Kay. Thank you.
Awesome comment, Kay. And Stephen, will you comment too, please?
Yeah, well, first off, I really like the rhyme scheme. I almost said lime scheme. I don't know. Anyway, but to me, I don't know, maybe I was listening wrong. It seemed to me like it was telling a tale, possibly like a legend of how the housefly learned to fly so erratically. That's kind of what I was seeing here. But also the fact that you keep bringing up that color, it makes me think of how, yes, they can actually sport some pretty brilliant colors on their thorax.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So yeah, I thought this was really cool.
Flies bump their butt a lot.
They
don't
land. Tumble around.
They don't land. Yeah, they don't land gracefully at all. You watch in slow motion. Frogs.
Awesome comments, everyone. And Stephen and Kate, thank you very much for calling. I will see you at the show Wednesday. If not before.
Okay, have a good night.
Good night, everybody.
Thanks, Dave. Thanks. And Hatter, I put your poem on the board if you want to read for us.
You chase everybody away and then, okay, I see how it goes.
I didn't chase them away. I'd be happy if they stayed, but they've been on the phone for hours already. It's 7:30 this evening.
I'm kidding, Chris. Just doing the business. Okay. Now this one seems to major
Hatter,
overhaul.
Maybe you could take your med at 8 instead of 7 next week.
The Niner Ram game is not televised out here. I can't get it. It's pissed me off.
Oh, I'm watching it. the score is 9-17.
Oh, okay.
The Niners, right? Yeah.
The Rams and the Niners.
Okay.
But who's ahead?
And right now, two players have each other locked by their face masks, and they're trying not to make them fight. San Francisco's winning, and it's the fourth quarter.
Okay. Oh, well, there you go. So, Hatter, are you okay to read your poem? I was going to ask, too.
Let me see. No.
Oh, well, that's why I asked. Hello. I'm very happy to read it for you. I just wasn't sure whether you wanted me.
I lost my good pair of glasses, so everything is sort of fuzzy.
No, it's okay. I just sort of had that sense. This is counting the rain after the thunder from 3 days ago, and it goes a little bit like this. The touch of a stranger when only a seed sowed in a thought block living in weeds. That's what's new for the soles of my shoes if caused to walk alone. Dragging its feet through drying concrete, just trying to get back home. Frozen from mirrored, shadowless reflection, strangled to breathe in the last living confessions. Anchored in wisdom of an ancient fur, reciting from memory all of the words. Wrap around fingers that stop to linger, remembering what is written in stone. It leaves little traces in those buried spaces forever to be alone. Tangled in knots, it takes all it's got to dream of being freed. Seeking what's true, it could be you. But I know, it's surely me. End poem.
Great read.
Thank you.
Well, Heather, the emotion in this one is running down the page.
You know
the
what
touch
happened?
Of a stranger when only a seed sowed in a thought blocked living in weeds. Taking what's new from the soles of my shoes, it paused to walk alone. Right there, I was already like, whoa, just in the first two couplets. And anchored in wisdom of an ancient fir, reciting the memory of all the words. Wrap around fingers that stop to linger, remembering what is written in stone. Stella Wright, especially for the art, it's like they were meant to be together there. The twisting of the strands around that rock. I like how you called it wrapped around the fingers that stopped to linger. Really, really, well, of course, the how to rhyme, but really emotion-packed here. Tangled in knots, it takes all it's got to dream of being freed. And you know, the emotion there just in that little couplet. So I'm thinking of the difference between the two poems that you wrote for the art, Heather, and I'm really impressed at the dual.
If you remember, this one was really short and had nothing to do with what it is now, because I took a look at that picture and I saw, at first just saw the vine arms wrapped around another tree. Then I looked at it and thought, oh my God, that's a mark or a headstone or a monument stone.
Or a tombstone.
I had to rewrite. I filled
in
the rest
of that. No, I definitely remember that it was like, what was it, maybe four couplets before, but I think more like three couplets.
Something like that.
And then like I was saying, that this one piece of art has already inspired your muse in two completely different ways, but yet both very emotional. So I kind of really like where this art has taken you in both cases. Great share.
I like this one. Yeah, this one turned out okay.
Yeah, I do too. AP, what you think? You read?
I really liked it. I think it's sort of the way that it was written sort of reminded me of waterfall. Interestingly enough, it sort of reminded me of something falling because of the nature of the words and how the words came together, and it sort of fitted for me with the sort of the roots sort of going down and trembling down into the ground over that piece of stonework there. And so, I too like the fingers that linger. It was really neat. Remembering what is written in stone, I thought that was a really neat way just to tie it back image. And then, you know, we have the classic, almost a Hatterism in the final stanza, which sort of always sort of reflects back on him. So it was just really neat. I really liked it as a whole.
Thank you, AP.
Great comment. And I noticed that you added it to your list, Heather. I'm glad that
I'll draw something like that picture to put with it.
Yeah.
Cool. Because I was going to say, when you just sent me some more art, you sent me that picture with it, and I'm thinking, So, yeah, you have to. You did. So I knew you really liked the art.
Once I took a look at what it was, I go, oh, man, I've done that before.
Right. All right, well, I'm going to, the next poem that I'm going to put on the board, I'm going to read for Heavenly Angel because I'm not sure how much time she has, and I see her out there on the board. Now that she tuned into the correct show, ha, 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 she was shaking her head when I looked up there earlier. Okay. Now, this poem is called Reflections of Tranquility by Heavenly Angel. Here we go. Morning comes soft as a lover's whisper. Clouds blush mauve and virgin pink, dripping reflected rays of sunbeams. Something so beautiful and sacred. Buttery satin petals drizzled with splashes of tangerine show their beautiful faces. Serenity envelops my heart. This heavenly scene elicits a gasp of appreciation in all the rich grandeur of this view as nature sings her wonderful songs. The wind, the birds, the animals call out time and impressions no longer exist. We shall see what beauty blooms in these lush fields and forests of green, scenes frozen and captured in a clear glass menagerie, catching reflections of tranquility. End poem. Wow, this is gorgeous, and I really liked it. It started with the words "reflection of tranquility" in the title, and ended with those words. And in between, she packed it with beautiful visions. They're coupled, of course, with emotion, but the imagery is bold and vivid and colorful, like the background that she chose, and like the sunflower with the colors all around it. And one other thing, the opening there, morning comes soft as a lover's whisper. I think that's a beautiful opening. So like all the way through, I think that this is really, really great. And I appreciate the participation all the time, Angel, and always an honor to be your reader. Fabulous share. Thank you so much. And Hatter, what you think?
Yeah. She's our group hallmark writer. I think she starts out her poems. The beginning is the strongest. I wish I could write a little bit like this because I could get out of the doom and gloom, but I can't. But I really admire somebody that could just put this much feeling into a piece that just reads so perfectly. Very nice.
Awesome comment, Hatter, and AP.
Yeah, it's just there's a happiness there in the write. And it sort of bounces along. Buttery satin petals drizzled by splashes of tangerine. And you look at the image and they're absolutely there, but she sort of grabs each bit and makes it come alive with the words that she chooses and the words that she uses, and it as a whole, it really works really, really well.
Warm fuzzies.
Fabulous. Fabulous comment. Let's see what we got here. There it is. I was going to say, I can't find the board. All right, so we have four recordings, two, three, four. And then I don't know if Crystal is going to be able to make it. So what I thought I would do is I would see if you would read for her AP, and then if she calls, I'll just have her read again. But just in case, I want to get all of them on.
Cool.
And where did the book? There it is. So if you would go ahead and read that for me, I'd appreciate it.
Yep. No problems at all. Make my way to the piece. And this is Elephant Ear Lullabies. Goes a little bit like this. As motherly mandalas painted magnolias, twisted as braids of swirls of spirit, yellow tulips danced on dandelions, wrapped in lavender blankets of mint. Pastel hens nestled in needles gnawed around a grandmother's nail. In-house sliding rattled the roofing of a thunderstorm of diamond hail. Elephant ears cradled the chin of a newborn baby's breathing chest. Cotton fabric wiped wet brunette hair as red cheeks snuggled against mother's breast. Doodles of markers stained the trunk as green sneakers kicked the ivory tusks. Brown pigtails bounced as the sniffing of grandmother's perfume dusted musk. Chestnut dresses sat porcelain dolls as grown wrinkled hands folded the hands. A round bundle squirmed in the fibers as drooping eyes closed. They're a milk gem. Ping-pong.
Thank you, AP. You know, whenever I post a art that has an elephant in it, I always wonder whether it'll be Crystal or Sweet Pea that is drawn to it, because they're both they both really love elephants. And I like the Elephant Ear Lullabies. I think that's a really beautiful title. Pastel hems nestled in needles gnawed around the grandmother's nail. Tin house sliding rattled the roofing with a thunderstorm of diamond hair. I mean, wow, just the images in that stanza alone. And I think some of the things like the grandmother's nail, I believe that is a plant, but I'd have to double check because I feel like I've heard about it before. But her rhyme in here, elephant ears cradled the chin of a newborn baby's breathing chest, cotton fabric wiped the brunette hair as red cheeks snuggled against the mother's breast. The words there are every bit as tender towards the baby elephant as towards an infant, a human infant. It's just packed with the love of a parent there. And at the end, a bundle squirmed in the fibers as drooping eyes closed their emerald gems. I mean, it was very endearing and sweet and great rhyme. And Crystal's been mega brevity too, so this one's kind of long. I like this story, the image. And although, of course, I always like listening to AP read, the only thing that would have made this better would have been if Crystal was able to call. Beautiful share. Thank you very much. Hatter, what do you think?
Is that Mandela's or Mandela's? Mandela's at the beginning.
Mandalas. As motherly mandalas painted magnolias. The first line there. Mandala.
Yeah.
I think that.
Yeah, Mandela was with an E, right? D E L. Mandela. Okay.
You take a peek at the elephant itself, and you see that print that's running through there with the scrolls and the roundy. That's a mandala.
Oh, really? Like a paisley sort of.
It's the pattern.
I do those all the time. All the time.
Well, see that? You didn't even know you were drawing mandalas. I don't know. Let me see if I can find a pronunciation.
No, that's
no,
right.
I think that's right.
Right.
Mandela. Mandela's. Yeah, plural mandalas. Cool.
Okay, so I guess it could be one of those tomato words because what from what I see here, it's sort of pronounced as a single syllable word. Mandal.
Right.
So
yeah,
anyway.
Right. There you go.
Okay. Yeah, mandal.
Cool, right?
It is.
Yeah. Oh, the elephant thing, I think in comparison to size and weight and everything, they're probably even a hell of a lot more gentler than we are with our infants. You think about it in comparison.
Yeah. It's a beautiful thing to watch.
Yeah.
Any new mother with their offspring, but there's something extremely gentle and tender. And I think it's probably the contrast because they're such gentle giants that you think of them as this thunderous, booming critter that's got a long memory and it can be very tender. Anyway, awesome read, AP. What do you think of the poem?
Yeah, no, it was fun. We've actually got at our zoo, we've got three elephants who are going to have bubs in the next year all together, and so they're all moving together out to a brand new enclosure to get some more space, and so they've got some more room for bubs to go bubbing around as elephant bubs. So it'll be a big deal in another year's time or so. It takes a long time for an elephant to arrive. That was fun poem. And I love the author's note at the end, Seth, of the poem. And that was that as somebody who in the future wants an elephant nursery, and I sort of thought that summed it up very nicely.
Oh, yeah, really. I hadn't even gone down to that. That's really cool. That sounds just like Crystal, too.
Yep.
Colin.
Okay, now I am double checking. It looks like I have the four recordings left. Cool. Okay. So let me
update.
Grab Titus and put him on the board. And then we will do the four recordings. As soon as I find voice, there it is. Good night, Angel. Thanks for the awesome poem. And there is the link for Titus. Tell me when you guys see it.
Hold on.
Good.
Running down the hall. Okay.
My internet's running about as quickly as... Oh, I've got it.
I got it.
Okay. Here we go.
A kind of whimpering. It paints the perfect picture of life, it does. Far from a maddening crowd with this routine, fear of failure, catching up with what was, pedaling alone without falling where I lean. Out of reach, how green a land, it affects vastly. Health, I would train both eyes upon. The carousel monotony neglects the splash of color others would have done. Sunshine, a sublime tan of distinctive rays. Cantaloupe clouds do hold a silver incense. My hopes are raised within this paraphrase. The sentiment all treasured things diverts. So precious few reserves my heart does bleed. To speak of bikes below, all plants confide, receive a kind of whimper to exceed, all the curling tears you'll find have dried.
Wow. For starters, there was something about that piano music in the background that added to it and drove it on. I like his choices that he uses as background on these. Let me see here. It paints the perfect picture of life. It does, far from the maddening crowd, with this routine. Fear of failure, catching up with what was, pedaling alone without falling where I lean. Wow. The third and fourth line, fear of failure, catching up with what was. Fear of failure is such an extremely powerful emotion, and I would have never thought that seeing that picture that been a fear of failure, or even like the amazing title there, A Kind of Whimpering. So there's a sadness to the title, and of course the sadness to that fear of failure. And then that itself gives another dimension to that piano music, because there's the tone that went with it, fit with the fear, fear of failure. At the end, the last stanza, or the third stanza, I guess, the sunshine, a sublime tan of distinctive rays. Cantaloupe clouds do hold a silver insert. I love the thought of the silver insert. There's been many ways that we've talked about the different hues in a cloud or the glow from a cloud, but I kind of really like the silver insert. It's a different way to describe that light inside there. My hopes are raised within the paraphrase, the sentiment, all treasured things divert. Really deep, and I've said this before when we've done his poems that had the word bank, but Titus can look at a word bank and come up with this amazing stuff. And if I am looking for a contest to join and there's a word bank and Titus is in there, I'm hard-pressed to enter because, like I said, he can really spin a tale from a word bank. Very impressive. And the last two lines there, I keep going back and reading them again. Receive a kind of whimper to a seed all occurring tears you'll find have dried. And the thought of the tears dried can go in two different ways, whether they dried because there's no reason to cry anymore or because you've just there's no tears left because you've cried so many. It doesn't mean that the pain that caused the whimper went away, just that there's no more tears. So I like that the way that the last two lines are left open for interpretation. So I think that this came out fantastic, as always. Thank you so much, Titus. Appreciate it. AP, what do you think?
Well, I wouldn't have taken the image in that way, Deb. I think it's really interesting. I mean, the image and see, I sort of bike and I see colours and I sort of see a sort of more vivid, happy, and he sort of took it in a way that obviously stirred a memory in him because he sort of pined after that image, and it was very, very different, and obviously something has, you know, stirred a memory within this image because it was a very vivid and very interesting response that it was quite personal.
Yeah, I agree that there was some, and I said that music, there was something in that piano that added to the emotion, the softness, or the, I don't know what it was about the music, but I was kind of mesmerized by it. Some, but awesome comment, thank you. And Hatter, what do you think?
Yeah, I think what you're trying to describe is there's certain chords, progression chords that you play to invoke emotions, like the circus. You can do the certain chords for it sounds like a circus, but there are known keys on the piano that you play that would evoke emotion. I'm saying this terribly. I'm sorry, but with Titus, you can't tell at all that there's a word bank. Usually you can tell somebody's forcing something a little too fast, or it's just a little out of place, or something. You can tell it's weird, but he hides his so well, which is shows his talent for sure. The long line rhyme, when done right, it's just a beautiful thing, and this is an example. Yeah, very good.
I agree.
Thanks.
And I felt what you were trying to say about the music. There is some it can even sound like weeping, which you know.
Oh
which,
yeah,
like,
the haunted house. In the haunted house, those have a doom sound to it. I think, I don't know if it was Mozart I think it was Mozart that really was able to grasp the emotions in music, or to at least define it.
Right. All right. Now we have Gerald, Phil, and Laughing Soul. So let me get Gerald's and bring it to the board. And I'm using the board every 2 minutes to add a poem, and I don't know why it keeps disappearing on me. Okay, there it is. And you guys let me know when you see it, and I will push play.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Push play.
Yep, we're good.
Okay. Here we go.
Faces, written in red by Gerald Green. Faces change with time, reflecting those who bonded through the years, and those who made a difference in his life, with or without permission. Young sailors can be seen on certain days, when the old admiral seems concerned about some thought or plan. Troubled athletes show at times when hope increases regarding his lingering illness. I see my mother briefly when he smiles at grandchildren standing by his hospital bed. Confidence still exudes through creases and stubble that never used to be. When he smiles, though it be seldom now, I see myself and disappointment. Since the stroke last year, he doesn't talk, and yet he speaks to me each time we meet. End poem.
Wow, Gerald. Faces change with time, and those who bonded through the years, and those who made a difference in his life with or without permission. Starting out strong and just kept going. Young sailors can be seen on certain days when the old admiral seems concerned about some thought or plan. The history that he gave this photo that he drew from, too real. The sentiment feels like there's a piece of Gerald in there when he smiles. Though be it seldom now, I see myself and disappointment. I think after each stanza, there was a wow. And then to close it, you know, with the stroke, I want to cry at the ending there, where he doesn't really speak to anybody, but he speaks to me each time we meet, and I kind of have a feeling that he doesn't need any words to do it. He just, it's in the face. And Gerald, I'm a little bit overwhelmed by the feel from this one. It takes me to my grandfather, actually, and I think that this is an excellent piece, but I'm always impressed with what you send week after week, and I appreciate it and your time so much. Let me get you some comments. Howder?
Yeah, caught me caught me off guard too. Same kind of feelings. That's all I can say. I mean, the stubble on his face, which never was before. I remember my father the same way. Wow. I'm sort of lost for words. This is very good. Very good. Thanks, Jacob.
Thanks, Hatter. AP, what do you think?
Look, I really liked this. To me, is a poem written by an experienced person about another even more experienced person. And in doing that, he brings out the subtleties in the lines and the craggy bits of the face, and he does it carefully and gently and in a way that shows that he truly observes what's going on with things. And the thing that I really love about that is that there's something quite special about that talent compared to the vast majority of people these days, where everything's got to be consistent characters and immediately obvious in front of you. Jerrop doesn't need that, and in his poem he goes and he proves that people are a lot more than that, and there's a lot more depth to people if you just take the book.
You know, there's one line in here that really stood out, is when he described himself. The only time he put himself in this is when I see myself and disappointment, when he smiles, though it be seldom now. I see myself and disappointment. Great line.
Right.
That added
powerhouse.
Yeah, that brought it is.
Oh, okay. We have two more. The next one is by Phil the Poet. And I'm running bored with that one right now. And
unless Crystal calls. Oh, I can see Phil the Poet now.
Cool. Okay, guys, here we go.
There's a poem by Phil the Poet called Autumn Leaf Sail. The descending sun shines through a thin veined sail. The whimper of a breeze makes the material look gauntly pale. While light awakens me from the dream of sailing, the seagulls over my head begin the mournful wailing. The boat made of willow bark belches under sea shanty songs, which echoes from ages past by a crowd of 100 strong. The river swells as a boy skims a pebble across the brook. The vessel swirls like a miniature carousel capsized by a giant rook. The autumn leaf is not a sail anymore, but a canopy for a nest, with the chirping of a hungry mouth long for a mother's caress. It sits proudly watching from the treetops at the animals below, stepping in the puddle where a toy ship once did flow. But in the child's mind, the inch-deep puddle was a vast ocean, and he was the captain of a grand yacht called the Locomotion. Instead of a green forest, there was a mountain range. The noon sun became a drilling star. Oh, how strange. Until the bird came and took his sail back to the land, walking away with a wreck of a dream in his hand. Suddenly the wind blew, and he felt something tangled in his hair. He removed the autumn leaf sail with delicate care. Tomorrow he will build a better boat with an engine, take it out on the seven seas with his best friend. And in the middle of a destructive storm of ravage hail, he will look at the autumn leaf that encouraged him to sail. End poem.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Well, I comment that I did add his art to the chat wall if you want to take a peek. But I like how in the one spot he talked as if there was a toy, and I'm trying to find, but a child's mind, I can't find it. But
But I like how we went from an autumn leaf, and then it was a mountain, and like you think, you know, purple mountains, majesty, and you see the art that he wrote to, and there's the purple mountain in the background. Let me see. It sits proudly watching from the treetops at the animals below, stepping in a puddle where a toy ship once did flow. There's the toy. But in a child's mind, the inch-deep puddle was a vast ocean, and he was the captain of the grand yacht called the Locomotion. I like that he named the vessel. I like that it was like, here we are, this grand setting, but we're in a puddle. And I love that thought. And tomorrow he will build a better boat with an engine, take it out on the seven seas with his best friend in the middle of a destructive storm or ravaged hail. He will look at the autumn leaf that encouraged him to sail. And you're thinking that he got all this from the thought of a leaf floating in a puddle. And then that leaf turned into this boat that was sailing by mountains, and what a clever approach to the art. Fantastic, though. I really like where you took this. You're another poet that... Huh?
Let me explain something about boys. We have actual races of leaf in the gutter, yeah, when it's raining. We actually have races to pick up. At least me and my brothers did. So the leaf has inspired the leaf inspired everything from the helicopter to space flight to all good.
Yeah, no, my thought was boys and their toys and what a vivid imagination and I actually find myself wondering if this is a childhood memory from a thought maybe they were him and his friends were doing the same thing one day watching that leaf. As the wind blew it through a puddle or something, but it's just so clever, fantastic.
Yeah.
And again, it shows you what a big difference it makes when the poet sends in a recording for you, because there's nothing like hearing the poet present it to us themselves. Brilliant share, Phil. And finish your comment, Kevin.
No, I put on there. This is the best. This is. Some of his best. I can't. And it went on two lists. I think I put it on. I love the way he brought the ending together. The rhyme is always spot on. And you're right. It's better. It's best that he read it, because our slang or our way of talking might not have been such a beautiful rhyming piece. But you can go anywhere on there and pick lines. But in a child's mind, the inch deep puddle was a vast ocean, and he was the captain of the grand yacht called the Locomotion. He must have grown up or lives by the sea, by the ocean, by the sea somewhere. He writes so well about it.
Awesome comment, Heather. AP, what do you think?
Like an opus of the leaf. Yeah. You know, the leaf sort of starts its way as a style, and then becomes the thing that sort of is the thing that encourages him to keep on going and do bigger and better as he goes on. It's really interesting. It's just the way he talks about it. It just feels like a story that's really true and really meaningful with him somehow, that he sort of related to this leaf and that, you know, he's been inspired by the travels of the leaf and what he's done, and it's a beautiful poem, a really beautiful poem, and he read it fantastically well.
Awesome comment. Thank you so much. Yeah, I agree. It was a very, very unexpected journey for the art, but impressive and Great comments, both of you. And the last poem is on the board. So before I push play, I was going to say that I don't know which author or poet that my suite is going to do tomorrow. Okay, I'm taking that back. There's a few things going on, so she will not be doing that show tomorrow. So I will let you know, or she will let us know which person she decides to do for us next Tuesday. But I did want to take a moment to just say what the topic will be for next week. It's an artist. His name is Phil Straub, and there's some really awesome art. Of course, I try to get enticing art for everyone, but in this particular show, all the quotes that are listed for prompts are from poems written by Heavenly Angel. And it's the first of that we have quite a few poets that participate over and over again. And for a while we were featuring them and we would have them come on the show and read for us and we would use their poems for inspiration. But we also have some amazing poets that can't call in. And I've been trying to find out, trying to work on a way in my mind to, you know, bring their poems to light the way we did the other poets. So this was my answer to that, and we have one coming up with some Phil the Poet quotes, and I'm going to grab some from Gerald Green's poems, but I'm going to try to pay tribute to the poets who support our shows in a special as a way as we did when we were bringing the poets on. So this is the first of those where I've incorporated it into the art, and some of the quotes from her poems are awesome. I handpicked them myself. I hope you are inspired. And Phil Straub's art is very, very vivid and colorful. And he has everything from dragons to fairies and scenery. He's got some abstract art. So he's a really, really versatile digital artist. So I hope you guys have some fun with that one. And on that note, if you guys go ahead and click on Laughing Soul, we will wrap up this week's artist. Tell me when you see her, guys.
I got it.
Now.
Jacket.
Okay. Here we go. The Girl in the Yellow Jacket. A poem by Laughing Soul. I saw her flitter by as I sat there with my wooded easel beneath the silver sky. Burgundy braids neatly tucked in a tie-dye hat, a curl coyly cascades. Purple boots make a splash like the mischievous gurgle of a hillside brook. Colors my canvas lash. I paint a song, tiny hands holding a sea of balloons seem to be singing along. Drizzles dampen my artistic fervor. I miss a glimpse of my Missy in yellow jacket. Her eyes, her face, oh the smile of her. I sat by my window, greeted by the satiny dawn, sanguine trills on the willow, no more my becharm my morn. Awaits a happenstance, my canvas with her portrait, for her cherubic glance, motley yearning my palette. End poem. Her voice always lulls you in. The Girl in the Yellow Jacket is a cute title. I saw her flitter by as I sat there with my wooded easel beneath the silver sky. Burgundy braids neatly tugged in a tie-dye hat. A curl coily cascades. I like the alliteration. I like the images there. Each little nuance from the picture, like the purple boots that made a splash. And I love, for some reason, I really love, I paint a song. Tiny hands holding a sea of balloons seem to be singing along. This is really, her words are just as sweet as the art, the little girl in the art there. And it was as if she stepped into her boots to paint the scene for us in the drizzle of the day. And she sat by her window and greeted by the satiny dawn. I mean, all the little pieces of it just add to the depth of the work. And for her cherub glance, motley yearning my palate. Very, very cute. And again, that softness and lull in the voice as you were reading added to it, and me in what was coming next, because there was a smile and a tenderness in your voice. Maybe it was nostalgia, but it was a great share. Thank you very much. And Hatter, I know you love listening to her voice. What do you think?
Yeah, she could read poetry in my ear anytime. Yeah, that look, that I guess it went through Europe more. The little girls were wearing these tutus, wearing some different kinds of striped socks, stockings, sort of a Pippi Longstocking. Is that a name? Sort of a frumpy. But there's so many of the little girls that were doing the voice contest, and they were always in these little tutus, and with the odd color sweater, and it's just a funky look. That's what the painting reminded me of, and she did well in describing it. The flitter by off the beginning, as I sat there with my wooden easel. Yeah. Nice piece.
Great comment, Hatter. And AP, the last comment of the night goes to you.
Thank you. The way I sort of viewed it was, it was almost like somebody watching their childhood come back again and reminding them of what they were like when they were younger, and that sense of color and that sense of dash and that sense of flat, and it there's something that's sort of refreshing and interesting and vibrant about that, and that's what's reflected in writing. So it was a really good poem. Yeah.
I agree, yeah. Awesome comment. All right. Well, we are at that point. And before I shout out some thank yous, I want to just say that there are so many out there that are either dealing with a crisis or not feeling well, or just today got diagnosed with COVID or whatever the case may be. But to each of you, and even one that's tied up with some important paperwork that has been checking in, and I just want you all to know that, you know, I do miss you, and I do realize that you're not around, and I want to make sure that you know it's noticed. And I wish speedy recoveries or resolutions to the circumstances that are keeping you from the joy of writing, and look forward to when things settle down for you so that you can come back and grace us with your presence. Again, I'm not going to try to list off the list because sadly there's so many dealing with something right now. But again, I mean, I send you messages. You know I care. Just figured I'd say so. And again, next week, amazing quotes by Heavenly Angel. Looking forward to that. So I want to say thank you to my amazing board, AP and Hatter and Sweet. The three of you are the best. I love doing this with you. And thank you to Kay and Titus and Angel and Laughing Soul and Phil the Poet and Gerald Green. and my little sis, Crystal, I appreciate you all very much. And keep an eye on the boards for the topics. They always start with the date of the show. And hopefully, keep your fingers crossed, we will have Pretty Bird here on Thursday. And her topic is Hide the Truth. But Hide is spelled H-Y-D-E because she'd like to tackle Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. So it sounds like a lot of fun. And then Friday, some open poetry with Linda, Liquid Damage, at the Liquid Damage Lounge, if she's feeling up to it. So just keep an eye on the board, and we'll make sure that let you know as each show is confirmed. But that's what's coming up so far. And on that note, I am going
Saturday.
To head out.
Saturday, we have.
And
we have
yes,
ashes.
I'm sorry. Saturday.
You.
Saturday, Ashes.
Me.
Thank you. Yeah,
me and Hedda.
And you'll be in another country.
And I will be joining you for that show for the first time from Singapore.
You have done shows from some really interesting places, whether it be right around your home, but sitting at a rest stop or a boulder or in a stairway.
Yep.
And you've done it from...
Yep.
More countries than anybody else I know. So it'll be fun to do it from another. Have you ever sat down and thought about all the places that you've done shows from? Hotel rooms?
Actually,
airports?
I've definitely done shows from the US. I've definitely done shows from Canada. And I think I've done the odd show from Singapore a few years ago. And I might have called in a few times, even from London. So, you know, I've sort of been out and about a little bit, and obviously the last few years I haven't been, but we're starting to get back on the road again, which is terrific.
Absolutely. Well, it's definitely an impressive list of locales. For sure. I don't think anybody could top the number of places that you've done shows from, just saying. But on that note, I guess we will get out of here. And I'm trying to think of something that we could play to take us out. Something that I am looking. Thought I had one and I couldn't find it, so I am trying. I don't know where it went, but since everything's in the studio listed by artist, obviously it's not here anymore. So
you are suggesting?
I was trying to. I'm going with the second choice because this one mentions butterflies in it, but
okay.
This is called Even Flow. By Pearl Jam. Here we go.
Cool.
Thank you.
Love that song. All right, everyone. Thank you very much. Appreciate you all. See you next time, same time next week, and before that. Love and respect, everyone.
Thanks, Deb.